What do you do when you don't know what to do? I mean, you've got a huge decision, or you're facing a problem or a relationship that you know needs fixed, and you're clueless. You're desperate for God's help, but you don't know what to do. Want help? Stay with me.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge features the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram on this daily discipleship program. I'm Dave Drewy. You know, I don't think any of us skate when it comes to getting seriously stuck and wishing we could meet with God over coffee to say, help me out. Well, today we're going to take a look at a way to connect with God when we really need to hear from Him. We're in our series called Sacred Rhythms, Cultivating a Lifestyle That Makes Room for God. Chip's team teaching with his son Ryan, who's a pastor in his own right of a vibrant young church in the Bay Area. So now here's Ryan with our message, Cleansing Our Lives from Distractions.
What do you do when you don't know what to do? When life's uncertain, when the future, you're not exactly sure what's going to happen. Maybe you have a relationship that's falling apart. Maybe your kids are heading down the wrong road. You get a biopsy report. What do you do when you have a major decision to make, when you've lost your job, or when you've sensed that God is calling you into a new direction or to a big step of faith? Like, how do you pray when life's desperate? How do you pray when you're at the end of your rope? We've been journeying in the Sermon on the Mount with Jesus, and we said sacred rhythms are spiritual practices or disciplines that we embrace that actually cultivate the very life of Christ in us. In ancient Judaism, there's three central disciplines that they engaged in: the discipline or practice of giving, the discipline or practice of prayer, and then the discipline and practice of fasting. And these are the three practices that Jesus has been talking about, teaching us, and defining. How do we actually engage in these in such a way that it's not a religious activity, but it develops relational intimacy? We become more and more like Jesus. And this morning, we're going to look at the practice or the rhythm of fasting. Now, here's the problem with fasting. We don't know anything about it. So some of you are somewhat familiar with it because it's become kind of hip, kind of popular. All the health benefits that are associated to fasting have become in vogue. And so intermittent fasting, some of you do that, you're into that. And there's tremendous health benefits connected to fasting. But in the church, in the West especially, we have lost this rhythm. It's almost completely died. It's not a part of our practice. And as a result, we miss out on the spiritual power and blessing of this rhythm. And fasting, by the way, it's not starving. We kind of think, oh, I'm just starving myself. No. Fasting is just abstaining from something, generally food, for a spiritual purpose or reasoning. Or we're just going to stop something, say no to something, so that I can say yes and focus in on God. And Jesus actually invites us, when we don't know what to do, when life is uncertain, to embrace and engage in the sacred rhythm of fasting. If you got your Bibles, would you open them up to Matthew chapter 6. We pick it up in verse 16. Listen in as Jesus teaches us about this rhythm of fasting. He says this: when you fast, three words in, let's stop already. Because Jesus says this repeatedly: when you pray, when you give, when you fast. Circle that word when in your notes or in your Bible. And we've said this. These practices are not commands to be obeyed. He doesn't say, you fast, you must fast. He says, when you fast. They're not commands to be obeyed. What they are is their wisdom to be embraced. There's a way about going about life that when you embrace it, it produces such joy and peace in your life. He says, when you fast, meaning that there will be times when you need to fast, meaning that there are going to be some moments in your life where the only productive thing you can do is fast. It's funny. The disciples of Jesus, when they were with Jesus, walking with Jesus on this planet, didn't fast at all. It actually really bothered the Pharisees, and it actually bothered the disciples of John the Baptist, so much so that they confronted Jesus on it. If you're in your Bible, you just flip over to Matthew chapter 9, you can see in verse 15, he's getting question about why don't his disciples fast the way everyone else does, this habit and practice, and Jesus answered this way, how can the guest of the bridegroom mourn while he's with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast. Translation, there are moments and seasons of celebration and feasting, and you should enjoy them and recognize them. And there are moments and seasons in our life when there are moments of mourning and fasting, and those are the proper right response. And so he says, when you fast, he's going to then teach us how not to fast. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. I tell you truly, they have received their reward in full. The hypocrites, over and over, Jesus is talking about this. These hypocrites, they're the Pharisees. They're the ones who look good on the outside, but their hearts are not right. The ones that wanted to put on a performance for everyone else to see how good they are. It's being more focused on outward rightness than internal heart connection. The Pharisees, these were the religious elite. They considered themselves above everyone else. And so they wanted everyone to look up to them, and they certainly looked down on everyone else. They had this sense of air of superiority, of power, of prestige. Jesus says, when you fast, don't fast the way they fast. You see, there's a way to do even the right things in the wrong way that can produce bad results. Your motives matters. Check your motives. The Pharisees, they fasted twice a week. They fasted on Mondays and they fasted on Thursdays. Interesting, the market days in their culture was on Mondays and Thursdays. And so when the greatest amount of people were in the town or in the city buying and selling goods, the Pharisees made sure that they were fasting. And so they wouldn't clean up, they wouldn't put on oil, they wouldn't comb their hair, if you will. They would even put on dust and ashes on their heads and walk around like just like with a dead face, you know, Eeyore-ish. So that everyone saw. Everyone could see, wow, look how good and holy they are. And Jesus is saying, your motives matter. Why you do what you do matters. And there's this subtle temptation in these spiritual practices, especially when you're in the community of other believers, is to use them as a badge of honor, to use them as somehow a checklist that makes you better than others, rather than an avenue or a tool to develop relational intimacy with Jesus. He says, don't let it go that way. But here, listen to what he says. Now, notice, it says, but when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. It says, when you fast, comb your hair, please, brush your teeth for everyone else's sake. There are even certain fasts, and we're going to really unpack this in a second, but that are just deeply personal. Don't let other people know. Just between you and God. Secrecy, by the way, is such a good safeguard for hypocrisy. He talks about it with giving, and when you're able to give in secret, you're not able, you know, it keeps you from puffing up in pride and praying and just allowing your heart, intention, and motives just to be laid bare before God. He says, when you do that, you'll experience the spiritual blessing of God. Okay. So, the question then is, what exactly is fasting? We've been talking about it for the last 10 minutes. I'm not exactly sure what this is. When and why should I fast, and how do I do it actually? Let's spend the remainder of our time talking about what fasting is, why and when we should do it, and how to actually go about doing it. Okay, what is fasting? If we look through the Hebrew scriptures, you'll notice the word fast actually means to humble one's soul. And so the Hebrew understanding of fasting was a physical action that humbled one's soul before God. You move into the New Testament, the Greek word means to one who hasn't eaten, who's empty or suffering hunger. So fasting is this act of humbling your soul before God by abstaining from something. In the scripture, that abstaining is always referred to food. And so another way to give us another definition for fasting, you may want to write down, fasting is setting something aside to focus intensely on God. Okay, I'm going to set something aside. I'm going to set eating aside. I'm going to set media aside to focus intently on God. I love how Richard Foster says it, because some of us wrestle, well, why do we fast? What is this all about? In his book, The Celebration of Discipline, he says this: the central idea in fasting is the voluntary denial of an otherwise normal function for the sake of intense spiritual activity. There is nothing wrong with any normal life functions. It is simply that there are times we set them aside in order to concentrate. Let me maybe give you a picture, an illustration that might help you understand this concept of fasting for a little bit and why we would embrace it. If you've paid attention to any sports at all, during the playoffs, you watch these elite athletes often post on social media, time to lock in. Meaning they're spending a time of focused, intentional activity that they're saying no to things like social media, saying no to other stuff so that they can perform at their best. Here's what fasting is. Fasting is saying no to certain activities, saying no to certain food, so that you can say yes to intentionally focusing and pursuing God. Now, some of you are going like, Ingram, I can't fast. I get hangry. I mean, I get hangry. Listen to what Richard Foster says again. He says, more than any other discipline, fasting reveals the thing that controls us. You see, when you fast, you know what bubbles up? You know what rises up? You know what kind of comes to the surface? The thing that controls you. You're like, no, I just get hangry. No, maybe there's an anger issue that you can kind of sedate with food and media that bubbles up. Maybe there's a bitterness issue. Maybe there's a jealousy issue. Maybe there's some fear in you, and it begins to bubble up. But by the way, fasting is so powerful. It brings about breakthroughs spiritually that can not be done otherwise. There's some things and some longings, some dreams that you actually have to stop and intensely focus your heart and mind and life on who God is, and by saying, okay, I'm going to spend a season where I'm saying no to food because my need for God is greater than my need for my food. Jesus would say it this way: my food is to do the will of my Father who sent me. Let's go, okay, I want to get to the place where I recognize my spiritual need is greater than any physical need and bring my physical reality in alignment with my spiritual reality. So what is fasting? The act of humbling our soul before God by abstaining from something is setting aside something to focus intensely on God. So how and why should you fast? How and why should we go about this? Let me give you just five areas for you to consider. Okay, how do I go about fasting? When do I know I should, you know, intensely focus after God? Friends, I bet you've never noticed fasting in the Bible. And as we're going to unpack it together, what you're going to see as we are talking about it, you're going to start to go, oh, it's literally all throughout the Bible. We might want to pay attention and listen up. Five areas where you might consider the rhythm of fasting. The first area is if you have a major decision to make or you need guidance. Nehemiah gets word from his hometown, Jerusalem. He's living in the capital city of Persia, Susa. He's cupbearer to the king. He has this position of authority and influence. And he gets word from Jerusalem that the people of Israel, his people, are in distress. The walls are torn down, and he's brokenhearted about it, and he realizes God has placed him in a position to make an impact. And so before he jumps and moves forward, risking his job, risking his position, risking success, even his life, what does he do? He fasts and pray. Nehemiah 1:4 says this, "When I heard these things, the problem and the struggle of Jerusalem, I sat down and wept." Like it emotionally connected with him. "For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Do you need wisdom? Do you have a big decision in front of you? Like maybe who to marry? Maybe what job to take? Maybe it's about where your kids are going to go to school. Maybe whether to stay in the area or to move. Do you need guidance? I would invite you to consider the rhythm of fasting. I remember when I was in college, just before, I met this incredibly beautiful blonde-haired girl named Jenny. And like we met over the summer, and I was like just smitten right away, you know? I don't know if she was. I don't. I was doing whatever I could to just hang out and be around her. Now, the problem was I went off to school in Chicago to Moody, and she went back to school to Cal Poly down at SLO. That was back in the day when we didn't, nobody had really cell phones except for wealthy people. Email was, you had to show up to the computer lab to email one another. And so I got her email address. I remember emailing her while I was in Chicago, and then waiting like a month to get an email back. How torturous. But man, it didn't take that little summer. She got my heart in that little summer. And I'm like going, what the deal? Are you kidding me? And I'd email her right back. I'd be checking my email every single day. Get another email like a month later. I'm like, oh, this is so torturous. And so I got frustrated. I'm at school in Chicago with this, you know, incredible people around me all following Jesus. I'm like, there's lots of beautiful girls here who all love Jesus. Why can't I like one of them? And so I'm not saying you need to do this, but I'm just telling you how I did it. And so I said, okay, God, I took a specific day. I said, I'm going to fast. Before we're dating, I fasted and prayed. And I said, God, either you take this girl off my mind or you let me marry her. It worked out okay. If you need guidance, if you have a major decision, maybe you should consider this rhythm of fasting.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip and his son Ryan Ingram will be back in just a minute to talk more about today's message from our series, Sacred Rhythms, Cultivating a Lifestyle That Makes Room for God. If the burdens of life are pressing in and you need to make some changes, Sacred Rhythms will help you do that. In Sacred Rhythms, you'll learn how to develop a few of the key spiritual practices that unlock a deeper, more satisfying relationship with God. To order your copy of Sacred Rhythms or to send a set to a friend, just visit us online at livingontheedge.org. You'll find that the CDs are discounted and the MP3s are absolutely free. Or if you prefer to order over the phone, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003.
Hey, Ryan and I are going to be right back to talk about today's teaching. But I want to give you just a reminder that we're in the last couple days of this series, Sacred Rhythms. And that means you've only got a couple more days to take advantage of the current series discount. If you've been listening to this series by my son and myself on Sacred Rhythms, you know, it's not about duty, it's not about oughts, it's not about shoulds. Here's the deal. Jesus gave us a pattern or a rhythm of life. And it's a rhythm that's different than being glued to our phones, being bombarded by media, and being stressed and hurried all the time. And we've learned a number of ways in this series to literally make room for God. He wants us to experience Him, but we have to get rid of the clutter, and we have to put some good things in. And so we want to give you the MP3s for free, or the series CDs at a discount, so that you can listen to these over and over, and ask God to help you develop the sacred rhythms that will make you more and more like the person you long to be, and the person God has saved you to be.
This series, Sacred Rhythms, provides practical tools to help you develop the kind of regular life patterns that make room for God day by day. In order for these practices to really take hold, you may want to listen to Chip and Ryan's messages again. Now, to make that easier, we've temporarily discounted the CDs, and the MP3s are absolutely free. For all the series details, or to order your copy of Sacred Rhythms, just go to livingontheedge.org. Or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Now here are Chip and Ryan with some additional thoughts about today's teaching.
Well, Ryan, it's great to have you with us. And as we wrap up today's program, I know in our next broadcast, we're going to give some very specific, I mean, this is how you actually fast. But I came away today with there is power in fasting and that motives are really, really important. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think motives is one of those tricky things for us, at least for me, partly because I'm not sure we ever do anything with completely pure motives, and so that's a challenge. And one of the ways that God's used this in my own life is just simply to identify the competing motives and bring them to Him. And just say, okay, God, I have this challenge in my heart. I want to be more spiritual, and yet, and that's what I'm bringing, or fasting. I actually want to lose a little bit of weight. It'd be nice to lose a little bit of weight, but I'm going to bring that to you and surrender it to you and invite your will and your way in my life. And so that's on the motive side, the practice I've found that helps me begin to align my heart with God's heart.
And then what about the power? Because I think people ask, so when should I fast? And I think there's so much that, oh, you know, you just do that, you're trying to be holy, and yet it's a very powerful spiritual weapon God's given us.
Absolutely. In fact, like I said, there's some things that cannot be accomplished without the discipline or rhythm of fasting in our lives. I'll give you one example. We were launching this church a little over 7 years ago. We were praying, we're seeking God's heart, and we could not find a location. 7 months, couldn't find a location. We had a date when we were launching, but with no location. That's incredibly stressful. What happened was got desperate enough, and we did a fast, and we said, okay, God, we're going to fast and pray until you provide a location.
Wow.
And so that's how serious. You get serious before God, and guess what? 7 days later, we had our location.
Wow. In very recent days, found myself distracted. And I don't know if anyone ever struggles with this, Ryan, but I assume they do. I tried really, really hard and found myself, and it wasn't a sinful behavior, but it was a distraction. And I had decided every day I'm not going to do that. And every day I found myself doing it. And finally, I just declared war and said, Lord, I'm going to fast. I'm going to bring in your spiritual power. And literally within 24 hours, God showed up in a very powerful way. And so I just want to encourage you, do not miss our next broadcast, because we're going to talk about very, very specific ways to fast. I mean, how to be very, very practical. And you're going to learn that there's some things to fast from that are not just food, that may be as powerful or more powerful than even fasting from food. Thanks again, Ryan.
Just before we close, I want to thank those of you who make this broadcast possible through your generous giving. Living on the Edge invests those dollars to purchase airtime, create programs, and provide resources to help Christians live like Christians. Now, if Living on the Edge has been a blessing to you, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? You can donate online at livingontheedge.org or by calling us at 1-888-333-6003. Thank you for your partnership with us. Well, I hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we continue our current series. For Chip and everyone here, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.